Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, good morning, and what an exciting Sunday it is that you have long awaited to hear who your new lead pastor would be, and we are delighted. You saw a number of weeks ago, we walked you through the whole process of what happened in order to come to this place. And that has just been so good to see. As you saw, there were 66 people, including all, and then in addition to that, all of you who took time to come out and take part. And so the search and discernment team took what they heard from you, from those teams, and they looked and pursued somebody with the elders that would be the right fit for you. And we are so excited with the news that's come today. And so thanks be to God. And I love the verse that you'll see come behind me. Lord, you establish peace for us, and all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Amen. I hope that's how you feel today. That's how we feel about our lives in general. When God brings things together, he is the one who has accomplished it for us. And so my first words that I just want to say to you, as we, Jim and I, are going to co-preach today. We started that way, if you remember, when we first came a long time ago, and we just want to end with having a chance to speak into your life. We want to bless you, we want to encourage you, we want to exhort you. But my first words before we begin is to say thank you. Thanks for allowing us to walk this journey with you. Thank you for taking part. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for speaking openly. Thank you. It's been a great journey, and I just want to say thank you. And so now a new journey begins, and with every beginning, there is an ending. And while we'll continue to work at the church, and our last Sunday will be July 10th, and our last day in the office will be July 12th, and on that day, we're going to be doing a changing of the guard. Pastor Brent, although he doesn't start until August 15th, but he's going to come and meet with us in the morning and then with the staff in the afternoon. So a true changing of the guard is going to happen in that day. And so what do we say in this opportune time? And I guess, as I mentioned, we just want to bless you, encourage you, and exhort you to live out your vision, live out your mission. And your mission is what you do, and your vision is what you want to become. And recently, we were having a discussion in the office about love and saying I love you. And I just, Zach, thank you for those songs. What a perfect what a perfect blend. You know, we give them the topic, but as we've been preparing, you're going to see where we're going just fits perfectly with the songs. We probably wouldn't have to even preach, Jim, right?
Because
those songs were so good. But I think we will anyway. But as we were talking about, one of the staff members that we were talking with was talking about how in their family, they never heard the words, I love you. Now, they didn't doubt the fact that they love that they were loved and cared for, but they'd never heard their parents say it either to them or to each other or to anyone for that matter. And so we were talking about, is it a generational, is it a cultural thing? And I reflected back when Jim and I were first married, and he would say, I love you, like, I washed the car today. And I'd go, no, you have to say it different. I don't know, as a young bride, I thought it should sound different. And so
I love you.
So, I don't know, maybe I've changed, maybe he's changed now when he says, I love you. It's music to my ears, but it's funny in those days. But then when we got over that hurdle, then we learned something about the love languages. Now, Jim is a very, he loves to use his words to affirm, and he is very, very good to do that. But you see, in my world, that doesn't quite cut it. I want to see acts of service. So don't tell me you love me and the house is a mess. You know, so he has learned over the years that what says love to me is if he has, let's say he was home with the kids all day or whatever, but he's taken time to quickly clean up. That says love to me. And so, and I, on the other hand, have learned that he loves words of affirmation. And so I would do all these things of, you know, I'd take the car and go wash it for him or whatever, and that didn't cut it either. He would rather I share with him what I love about him. So we've had to learn, what does it mean to have love languages? And we were singing about how we love Jesus, but have you ever thought about what Jesus' love language is? Have you ever thought about what says love to Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, in the book of John, there's a story about Peter and Jesus. And you know, they had had a big mess up for Peter, in other words. He had failed big time. He'd said, I'm going to stand with you, Jesus. I won't let you down. And yet, you know the story. Three times he denied that he even knew Jesus. And so this, even though Peter had seen Jesus since that time of the resurrection and knew that he was alive, this was now on, they were meeting by the lake of Galilee, and they were there, and he was, we're not sure why exactly Jesus asked him that. Was it that Peter was feeling the failure? Was it that perhaps it had interfered with their relationship? It wasn't quite the way it should be. But we do know that Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? And you know the response. He says, Peter says, of course I do, Lord. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three times. And so as I thought about that, I said, you know what says love to Jesus is when he feeds, when we feed the sheep. Now, you may think that's just for pastors, but I'm going to tell you, I believe it's not just for pastors. It's for all of us. If we want to speak the love language of Jesus, we need to tend to the lambs, which are the ones that are young in their faith. We need to love the sheep, which is all of us, in all kinds of situations. So I see that that is the first one that we see. But how do we actually learn to feed the sheep? When we look at how sheep are, they don't actually get fed per se. They're rather, they are led to a green pasture where they can graze. And that's how they get food. So talk to us a little bit about that.
You got that? Oh yeah, I don't need that thing. This next slide is by Oswald Chambers. And in it says, Jesus said to look after his sheep. Brenda's been talking about that. That they be nourished and get a knowledge of him. And so I want to take us into Psalm 23. You know that psalm. It's pretty familiar to all of us. It's a psalm where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. And it talks about how he fed the lambs, took care of the sheep. And you notice in these first verses, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. As I was reflecting on this, one of the things that struck me is that this was an image of a shepherd. But what is the context for us to experience the green pastures, the still waters? I really believe it is the community of faith. In some ways, we live in a world that is opposed to us, a world that challenges us, that doesn't believe the same as us. And we're trying to grapple with that. And where do we come to be refreshed, renewed, restored? We come to this place amongst people who think like us, who have the same desire as us, people who want to see Jesus made famous. And so we come. And we graze. Because you see, feeding isn't something that's force-fed. Lord takes us and brings us into a place where we can graze. These small groups that we're talking about, home groups, is that what we're calling them?
Growth groups.
Growth groups. The growth groups are places to graze. They're places to have conversation and interact with each other and learn about Jesus. Still waters. You see, sheep really... water, fast-moving water was dangerous for sheep. If they fell over, their wool would grab this water, right? And they would just sink. And so it required still water for sheep to take drinks. And those places of quietness, those places in the presence of the Lord where we can consume. And then he guides us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I got to tell you, if there's anything that encourages me, it's knowing and hearing other people share how God is at work. And it starts to give me a perspective of how I can walk in righteousness. It goes on in the psalm to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This table that is being prepared before us in the presence of our enemies, that's the world. And we come to the table that God has prepared right here amongst us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. This is really about the fact that God nudges and directs us. That's how the shepherd used his staff. He took that staff and he was trying to get the sheep in through a certain gate. He would be beating them on the heads. Well, not beating. He'd be tapping them on the sides, directing them, right? But the other tool that rod and staff were about was about protection. You see, in those days, if the wolves and coyotes came after the sheep, the shepherd had the staff to ward them off. And that is really the work of the Spirit, to be present amongst you. And so even as we were singing this morning, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I was praying over you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and be present amongst us. Not just to empower us, but to direct us and to shape us. And then the last verses, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know that you see Psalm 133 on the slide up there. The anointing of oil on sheep was to deal with lice and other things that were get caught up in the wool and could get into the nostrils of the sheep and make them sick. And so the shepherd would pour oil over them. But Psalm 133 is the passage where it says how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. The last part of that verse is that's where the Lord commands a blessing. But the second verse is this. Where unity is, it's like the oil is being poured out on Aaron's head. It flows down over him onto his beard and down onto his robes. And it was the oil of anointing. Anointing for ministry and purpose and intention. So the Spirit comes not just to protect us and to guide us, but to establish a path before us, paths of righteousness. And he anoints us. He calls us. He directs us to be engaged in the world around us. And so, surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You need to know that the body of Christ that you are a part of is the house of the Lord today. Do you catch that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22 talks about the fact that we are being built together as a dwelling place for God, a temple where he will reside. And because of that, you need to understand that this last statement, surely goodness and love, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And you can start dwelling in the house of the Lord today by acknowledging and caring for and watching over each other.
Right on. So one of Christ's love language is that we care for each other, that we tend the sheep, that we care for the lambs. Perhaps not in order of priority, but one of the other things that we see as the love language of Jesus is obedience. And if you see up on the slide behind me there, John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, while Jesus cared for the needs of the people, his first priority was to be obedient to the will of his Father. And when people were saved or people were healed, it was because he was obedient to the will of the Father. And so his heart for us is that we would be obedient. And so we come to know truth as we walk in obedience. You know, lots of times you hear that verse shared, they'll say, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But they forget the first part of that verse. It says, if you hold to my teachings. So obedience, holding to the teachings is what's important. And you know, there are many commands, as we know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we know that this relationship is important, just like in our mission. But this relationship is also important, to care for each other. And a number of the verses also talk about how we treat each other. The other morning, I woke up with a picture in my mind, and I said, Lord, that's such a strange picture to have first thing when I wake up. And I felt the Lord was saying that this is a picture of the community. And I was, you know, this time of year, we sit around campfires or maybe in your backyard, and that fire is crackling. It's so great. It's in you. You just feel like you want to stay there for a few hours and sip on a coffee or whatever. But, you know, a random rogue spark or ember just comes up, and although it quickly extinguishes, it can do a lot of damage. And I have a down jacket that has a hole in it to prove that. I have a fabric lawn chair beside us that proves that. And as I was thinking about that, I said, you know, the body of Christ is meant to be that warm place where we come together. But as you know, the bigger the fire, the more the embers that come. And sometimes in the body of Christ, there are words that are like sparks. And James tells us that, doesn't it? That it can be a spark that can ignite a whole forest. And as I was thinking about that, I thought how true that is. That, you know, the body of Christ, the bigger we are, sometimes the more sparks that might come and words that might cause offense. And what does Scripture say to do about that? 1 Peter 4 says this. Because it is going to happen, folks. We are people. And it has happened and it will happen again. But how do we do life together? And how are we going to live out this? And I believe God has great things for Spruce Grove Alliance Church. I really, truly do. And so how do we do life together? Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, that we come back to the words. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. And if anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God would be praised through Jesus Christ. So doing life together will be an important part of what God has in store for you as a church. And he goes on, he says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I keep my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I tell you this, that your joy will be complete. Now, do you think sometimes when you think of commands, do you think of, well, I need to do those, their do's, their don'ts, this is what I should do? No. Do you know that commands are there, that our joy would be complete? And even more so than that, not only does obedience bring joy, but it goes on to say that in John 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, that seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it, a little bit? Sometimes you think if you do somebody's command, you must be their servant or their employee or whatever. But it says, no, if you do what I command, you're my friends. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, he says, I call you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a friend of God. So we're hearing his love language is that we would tend the sheep, we would care for each other, and that we'd be obedient. And that includes in how we treat and teach each other.
John chapter 15, continuing on to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. There's two things I want to point out. Brenda was just talking about the fact that we are friends of God and that obedience leads to friendship. Well, I think obedience leads to deeper friendship. Because you see, in that those verses that Brenda read, Jesus said this about friendship. I call you friends because I have told you everything that the Father has taught me. And what does that say? It says that God took the first step towards us to be our friends. He trusted us with the information, the knowledge of who God is, who Christ is, how he can work in our lives. And so you need to realize that Jesus has already stepped forward and said, you are my friends because I've told you everything. He's trusting you with the gospel. The second thing I want to draw your attention to in these verses this morning is about fruit. That you're to bear fruit, fruit that will last. This morning as I was doing my devotions, I grabbed this particular Bible. This is an older version, older one that I've been used many years ago. And I'd made notes in it throughout the years. At any rate, one of the things I came across was this verse about fruit. So I went and looked up Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And as I was reading it, I had made a notation in my column there beside it. And the notation was this. Fruit is necessary to carry the seed. Think about it. An apple has its seeds. Pears have seeds. Peaches have seeds. All the fruit that you can think of, embedded in the fruit is the seed. In terms of the gospel is the seed of God's purpose and intentions for every person in the world. And that seed can only be carried by the fruit of the Spirit. You see, if you share the gospel out of anger, how does that work? It falls flat. If you share the gospel because you're fearful, how does that work? It doesn't go very far at all. But if you share the gospel out of a heart of joy, of love, of peace, of patience, of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, if you take those gifts, that fruit, and you share the gospel in that context, all of a sudden it carries authority. It carries reality. It speaks the truth to people. So Mother Teresa made this comment. This is the future. This is God's wish for us. To serve through love in action. And to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to act when called. It marries this idea of the spiritual fruit that is birthed in our lives, married with obedience, which results in God's wishes being fulfilled. So whatever happens in a manner worthy of the gospel of God, there's obedience. This is from Psalm 133. Brenda?
You saw earlier a slide from Oswald Chambers, and he talks about the fact that that being nourished, as we were talking earlier about feeding, that is looking to the Word. And it talked something, as Jim has been speaking, has just reminded me there, that he says that sometimes we can get devoted to the cause of Christ and not devoted to Christ. And I have to tell you that this week as we were preparing, I said, Lord, am I guilty of sometimes serving you, of being devoted to what you've called us to do, and not being devoted to you? And that was my challenge this week, to be devoted to Christ. Yes, service of him is what I want to do, caring for the sheep, loving on you, those sorts of things, but devoted to Christ. So we've talked about that his love language is to feed the sheep. His love language, or what says love to Jesus, is also obedience that will bear fruit. I would suggest to you that one more thing that we'd like to mention today that speaks love to Jesus, and that is our unity. And I look at the plan for the church and the church worldwide. Spruce Grove Alliance has an important part, but it is the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. It is God's plan A, folks. There is not a plan B. So we need to get our work together, our act together, and love each other and stand together in unity. Philippians says this, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, being obedient again. Then, when I come and I see you, or I only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Some of you have heard, unity, I believe, is what puts forth the message of God in the best way. And you know what? When a church is unified, the enemy would just love to come and destroy that. And so I, just as you've heard me maybe say before, one-on-one, guard unity. When we talked before about those little embers, let them go out quickly. Let go and make things right when you need to. Be gracious. Above all, love each other, as we read from that before. The last Psalm 133, Jim had referenced it before, but how good and how pleasant it is when we will live together in unity. It will be like precious oil that's poured out on the head, running down. So not just a little bit, it's amazing. And down to the collar of the robe. That's what we want, unity as a body of Christ.
So we want to wrap this up with a vision that was established by you, for you going forward. And so your vision, our vision for Spruce Grove Alliance Church is to be mature disciples of Jesus.
Devoted to him.
Yes, devoted to him. Led by the Holy Spirit. Engaged and equipped. Together, advancing the kingdom of God in Spruce Grove and the world. This is a powerful vision that you have for yourself. It's a vision that makes it clear that Jesus is at the center. You're part of a denomination that has a vision prayer that puts Jesus at the center. The lifelong phrasing for Christian Missionary Alliance is Jesus Christ is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. We sang that this morning. It's about being devoted to Him. Led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is present to make everything known that the Father has said to Jesus. And then being engaged and equipped so that together you can advance the kingdom of God, both right here in the city and anywhere else in the world. There's no boundaries. As a church, you have sent missionaries all over the world. Presently, you have missionaries from your church all over the world. Do not lose that. Hang on to that. When we are devoted to Christ, to Jesus, to know and care for one another, it is not an option. This is the foundation of your ministry. You're moving forward. Fully devoted followers of Jesus, committed to one another. And that statement encompasses the great commands. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength. And the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn your heads to the side, either side. Look at the persons beside you. These are your neighbors. And then you have a whole bunch of other neighbors out there beyond. And this is what God calls us to.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.